whatever we fill our minds with, we're going to buy into. When you do not meditate on truth and you meditate on the things of the world, you're going to believe that lies are truth.
Yeah.
So Oprah has become a, not anymore, but a kind of a staple of the American diet when it comes to philosophy. And I had a quote from Oprah. I don't know where it's at. Maybe I'll try to find it in a little bit. But she basically said
that, you get a new car.
You get a new car. You get a new car. But basically, all roads lead to God, and you can really believe whatever you want to believe. And, you know, and that's the antithesis of what Christianity is. And when it gets down to it, listen, there are only two worldviews. Even if somebody's a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or an Anglican, it doesn't matter what it is. There's only two worldviews. There's the world's worldview, and then there's God's.
Yeah.
There's man's attempt to get to God, or there was God's attempt to get to man, and his was successful because he used Christ to do so. And if you don't use Christ, if you don't go through Christ, you're using the world, just another works-based religion.
Question of the century. Why do our stomachs growl? What does it say about us? And why do we always have to say something about it whenever it happens in front of other people?
And why is it called growl? Because it's more like...
What is wrong with your stomach?
Oh, boy.
It's all those poached eggs.
Why do you get angry when you get hungry?
Yeah.
Hangry? Is that something we talked about?
Yeah. Yeah. About hangry.
But seriously, though, stomach growling... I mean, the noises sometimes...
That sounds like you singing.
You know, I think...
That's what inspires my singing.
It's God keeping us humble, because if you think you're pretty terrific and then you hear your stomach, you think, I'm not.
No, the worst is you're sitting in a waiting room and it's dead quiet and then...
That is your singing.
Oh, man. In fact, we were talking just before we came on about how hungry we all are.
Seriously, so I'd like to listen to a recording of amplified stomach sounds.
That's what this is.
That could be a follow-up to your Yanni's.
Yes.
Tape. Remember the Yanni's tape?
Yeah, I did. I put another one together. It's actually a video on Yanni's.
What's Yanni's? Describe
it. I didn't finish it because I fell asleep. Yanni's was 1 hour of pure, genuine, nonstop yawns to help you sleep at night, because yawning is contagious. Just talking about yawning makes...
You know what's interesting is on that tape that you had that on, because I think it was like on the whole backside of it or something. But on the front side of that tape, we're talking about cassette tapes.
For those born after 1990, what a cassette tape is.
Cassette tape. No, but on the front side, remember you had the Keeper? And it was...
Favorites.
The Comfort Favorites.
Yeah.
It was a thing of a demon possession. And then the Yanni's, I didn't know what it was when I got the tape. I didn't know you back then, but I ordered it from the mission. I thought it was demon possession. It's like... Where did you get that, Ray, by the way? You didn't compile it, did you?
It was from an LP, which is a long-playing record, and a record was before cassette tapes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You're going to take us back to our 8 tracks,
yeah,
they call them?
Or? Yeah, because they had them, and radio stations would have them. So I just duplicated. It was 10 minutes of yawns, and I duplicated it 6 times, which came to an hour.
Did I tell you that's when I found out what Ray Comfort was all about?
No.
I got that tape... And actually, I do think it was right after I met you guys. Well, this is one thing that I recognize.
This is not the click, is it?
The what?
The click.
Well, yeah, but let me just say this. I had just met you guys, and you were telling me about it or something, and I was at your house. I said, oh, I'd love that. It's like the next day it arrived in the mail. I'm like, oh, these are my kind of people. You know, like, they're on it. They keep their word. But I also realized what it was about, because I'm playing this thing, and this is like a tape you'd order from the ministry, right? Came labeled and everything. But you would hear, and in between each segment, there are all these things you'd hear, click, and the Ray would come on, and you'd hear like shuffling and moving. I'm like, this
so
guy,
Ray Comfort.
I go, this guy did this on like a home recorder.
So Ray Comfort.
Same buttons. Yeah, that
Ray
unveiled.
Is the nightmare of quality control.
Yeah. Just stop this for a minute. It unveiled to me all that Ray Comfort was about in that moment in time.
The ministry pre-easy.
Yeah, do it right now. Get it done.
I didn't have a Scotty. I had no tech guy. And when I did an edit on an audio tape, I had to do it with Scotch tape. Seriously, that's what we did in those days. You'd cut it. You'd splice it and then pull it together and put a tape holding it together. That's what they had to do.
Yeah.
The professionals guys did it without the noise. And of course, it's all exaggerated.
It was even worse.
Yes.
I love it. But it showed his heart. Let me just bless people, you know. We've come away since those days. Friends, thank you for those who have been commenting on the different platforms.
Oh, sorry about that. That was to Ray's show we're not as professional as you say we are.
Oh, boy. As I was saying, those of you that have commented on our podcast platforms, you've been such an encouragement to us. I want to encourage you to continue to do that because we need some encouragement. You know, we're sitting in here and doing this. We're like, is anyone getting blessed? And so by the thousands of downloads that we're seeing, we realize that, but also your comments help. So this one was labeled My Favorite Podcast. It says, I've been attending church since I was a little girl, and I have to admit these guys, especially Ray, have helped me grow in my faith more than I could have ever guessed. I strayed in my youth, and my husband introduced me to these guys, and ever since, I feel like I have found my way back into the faith, and I feel like I have truly been bathed in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and your grace, and thank you for helping me, even though you've never met me. I have an amazing amount of love in my heart for you guys. Anyone with questions, concerns, or wants to grow in your faith, this is the place. And that is from Sith Lord Leah.
In what podcast? Sith Lord Leah. To?
Right.
I hope you pronounced it correctly.
Sith Lord Leah.
I really hate you guys since you mispronounced my name.
Well, she's a Sith Lord, so we better pronounce it right. Thank you for that, sister. That's very, very encouraging. And please, guys, continue to do that. Give us ratings and leave us comments. And remember, podcast at livingwaters.com for any comments, thoughts, or subjects for us to deal with.
I don't think you mentioned it. Maybe you didn't, and I wasn't listening. You can subscribe to the podcast, which means it'll automatically update you when we upload new ones, which is a huge way of helping the podcast.
Subscribing is really huge, and tell people about it as well. All right, on that subject, we're going to talk about the subject, which is exploring the demonic roots of New Age-ism.
Why can't you just say a subject's New Age instead of exploring the demonic roots of... complicated.
It's important, Ray.
Yes.
We do things professionally.
Mark
here
is going to identify with what I'm going to say because I am a big fan of soup.
Mark, I love soup.
Oh, man, I love soup
we know
too. I'm
you
a like huge soup fan. Big time.
You're a huge soup fan?
Oh, man.
Bigger than
soup
you.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you weigh?
Stop it, guys. Be
170
serious.
Now. I used to be 125 when I got married.
I love
too much soup.
125.
No, I love soup, but I drive my wife crazy because when I start making soup, I get a huge pan out, and I'm not wanting to make 6 weeks worth of soup, but it always ends up that I put too much water in. Then I start putting everything in, every vegetable I can think of, and chicken and meat of all sorts, and suddenly we've got this massive amount of soup, and there's only two of us in the house.
Noodles? You what? Put noodles in there too?
Noodles, yeah.
Do you end up feeding your chickens the chicken soup?
No, we actually eat soup for day after day after day.
Really?
Sometimes.
He makes his poached egg in the soup.
Oh. I do not. But what I'm trying to say is New Age is just like soup. You can't define what's in it.
Yeah.
You say, oh, just check out what New Age is. Mark, what is New Age?
Yeah, listen, I've got no egg. Because there's nothing new about it, right? There's nothing new underneath the sun. It's
just a big mess of soup.
Yeah,
I just did a video recently on our YouTube channel, which you should check out, friends, if you haven't yet. And it was called What All Christians Should Know About New Age. And I talked to a lovely young lady named Ilana, who was actually from the Ukraine. And she was evidently, she didn't say it, but it was clear from the things she was saying that she's caught up in the New Age movement. And you said it, Mark, there's nothing new about the New Age movement. I mean, that's kind of a deceiving thing, you know, with that word new.
It's really from Genesis when you think of it.
Yeah, it goes back to Genesis 3:5. And that's when Satan told the first big lie to mankind. And when he said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's really the root of it. And of course, that being Satan's lie, what are you doing? Oh, apple.
No, for real.
Is that really 100%?
Steve Jobs was super into New Age. He took a trip to India. And their perspective is that what Adam and Eve did with the apple was enlightenment, that they gained knowledge and that it was a good thing what they did. Wow. So they celebrate the eating of the apple, which is the sign of apple products, apple products.
So should you repent for having the apple
product? He was motivated by a new age way of seeing
things.
Funny
you've got an apple that's orange.
An orange apple, yeah.
I think it's such an oxymoron that you just said, is he mankind?
Yeah.
Man isn't kind, he's cruel.
True.
But let me point out, because I wanted to say something.
Can I finish? I'm explaining something, Oscar. So what I was saying was, yeah, Satan introduced that lie to Adam and Eve, but remember, that was his ambition. If you look back in Isaiah 14, which without getting into the details is in reference to Satan, Isaiah 14:14, he said, I will ascend, Lucifer, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And when we look back at the origins of New Ageism, it was popularized back in the 1970s, and the movement really took off really in the 80s. And that's when we started seeing people like Deepak Chopra and Shirley MacLaine and Oprah Winfrey kind of really start to popularize it. And so I have more to say on it, but Oscar wants to say something, so I guess I'll
stop. What do you want to say that is so important that Easy can't
think? I'm over it.
I guess I'll stop.
I'm going home. Look, we normally think of New Age, I think sometimes when people think of New Age, they think of like hippies living out of their vans and campers and things of that nature.
Patchouli?
Like Ray Comfort. But actually, New Age is really popular amongst the social elite. The very affluent. As a matter of fact,
the Shirley MacLaine type thing.
Yeah,
she was for
those who know who that person is.
You do not know.
I have no idea.
The ultimate New Ager from the early 70s.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Who said that she was God, and that became big news.
Yep.
So you'll find it in affluent cultures. As a matter of fact, I spent 10 years in the financial industry and worked alongside some of the wealthiest people in the United States, and New Age was like the predominant way of seeing the world. Yeah. It was something celebrated, which is why I brought up Steve Jobs. That is not unusual. Mm-hmm. That type of mentality is common even amongst the social elite. And so I wanted to kind of help define New Age, because you guys are right. It is, you mentioned it like a soup. One author that I read talked about New Age as like this supermarket that basically you walk in and you take your pick of what product you want. You want a little bit from Buddhism, from Hatha Yoga, from Tai Chi, from Sufism, some transcendental meditation. You take your pick of what you want. He described a smorgasbord, right? This author described walking in hodgepodge.
Soup.
Right back to soup. He described walking into these huge gatherings, and you'd walk by one tent and it was like someone that was going to do therapy for you to cope with your past lives. And you walk over to the next tent, it was somebody selling crystals that were going to help you find more energy. So really a hodgepodge, but here's the way he says it. One thing that he said is that people in New Age don't know that they're in New Age. If you walk and you say, oh, you're a New Age, they'd go, what is that?
Exactly.
It's honestly a Christianese phrase that we use. But he said, out of all the things, there's no real doctrine. There's no commitment to one particular God. But he did say that there are four common polarities. And here's the four that he described. He said the first is that somebody in this way of thinking wants to subscribe to a non-Western worldview. So in their eyes, Western culture is the problem with the world and the reason why there is so much suffering. And the answer is in Eastern religions. So they move away from Western Greek Christianized ways of thinking and embrace Eastern religions more than anything else. The second is an emphasis on First Nation beliefs. So similar to the first one, in their eyes, Western culture oppressed primitive individuals, and the primitive individuals had a spiritual understanding of the world that Westerners don't, and they want to embrace that. The third is creation-centeredness. We'd call this neo-paganism. They think that God is in and of the world, that mountains have spiritual power and authority in and of themselves, that as Peter Jones put it, there is no separation between God and us, but we are all one.
Pantheism.
Yeah, panentheism or pantheism. And then the last was a focus on the person. So in this way of thinking of spirituality, the ultimate goal is self-enlightenment, knowing thyself, being in touch with the divine self.
Yeah.
That's the emphasis on this way, this New Age way of thinking about the world.
Right. Yeah, and you know, basically, like you just touched on, Oscar, if you think about it, it's really kind of basically Eastern mysticism repackaged. It is like a hodgepodge of Eastern religions, a bit of Buddhism, a bit of Hinduism. And you hear things connected with it like astral projection, tarot cards, being able to manifest your own reality. Yeah. I mean, maybe as you're hearing these things, friends, you're like, oh, wow, that's New Age. Yeah, that's all interrelated to that. And really what it has at its foundation is what's called monism. Monism is the view that all is one and one is all. And again, at the real heart of it is that, as I said before, when I referenced Genesis 3:5, it's that man can really become God. And you think of the silliness of that. And let's just talk for a moment. Let's just camp out here and let's talk about the proponents of New Ageism, really. Let's talk about Deepak Chopra. You guys remember Deepak Chopra when he'd go on Larry King Live with John MacArthur and they'd both be on there together? And you would see such a contrast.
Yeah.
You know, here's Deepak, and then they'd have a few other kind of token religious people that are just like, you know, your priest and your rabbi, and they're just like, you know, oh yeah, we're all great. And then Deepak jumps in, oh, we're all one, and we're all, and then MacArthur comes in, no, we're not, you know, and if you don't repent and trust in Christ, you're headed to hell, you know. And so guys, with guys like him and Oprah Winfrey is so embraced, and a lot of Christians will look and say, oh yeah, she's a Christian, she loves the Lord. Mark, when you've heard Oprah talk, and especially when she talks about how no, Christianity isn't the only way, Jesus isn't the only way, what do you think of in terms of how people are just buying into this?
Hey there, friends. You know, there are a lot of things that we delight to announce here on the Living Waters podcast, but today is what you call an announcement of extraordinary delight, because believe it or not, friends, a friend of Living Waters has donated thousands of dollars to go toward giving away free resources, free to you, but we're talking about $100 worth of resources, right, Oscar?
That's right. Every week, we are going to be announcing 10 winners. That's 5 winners per episode, 4 in the U.S., 1 overseas, and these winners are going to get a custom design box. There's a box designed by you, Easy, which is the least exciting one. There's one designed by Ray, Mark, and then, of course, the best of the best is the one designed by me. And everyone, and every one of these, you're going to get tracks, books, a podcast mug, and again, we're going to be giving away 5 an episode.
Wait, that's my line.
Whoops.
Thank you for that. 5 winners per podcast. That's it.
Oh, and it's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com.
And friends, excuse this
slash podcast.
Very inept announcement. Make sure to
finished.
Listen to
you
the podcast.
Crazy. God, oh. I got a whole stuff to read.
Oh, I thought you were done.
It's really easy to It's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form.
There you have it, friends. If you're still listening, please make sure to listen to the podcast all the way until the end, where you will be hearing the announcement of the winners every week.
Well, I think that whatever we fill our minds with, we're going to buy into. When you do not meditate on truth and you meditate on the things of the world, you're going to believe that lies are truth.
Yeah.
So Oprah has become a, not anymore, but a kind of a staple of the American diet when it comes to philosophy. And I had a quote from Oprah. I don't know where it's at. Maybe I'll try to find it in a little bit. But she basically
was
said
it, you get a new car.
You get a new car. You get a new car. But basically, all roads lead to God, and you can really believe whatever you want to believe. You know, and that's the antithesis of what Christianity is. And when it gets down to it, listen, there are only 2 worldviews. Even if somebody's a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or an Anglican, it doesn't matter what it is. There's only 2 worldviews. There's the world's worldview, and then there's God's.
Yeah.
There's man's attempt to get to God, or there was God's attempt to get to man, and his was successful because he used Christ to do so. And if you don't use Christ, if you don't go through Christ, you're using the world, just another works-based religion. So we are trying to get to be at peace with ourselves, when in reality, if you're at peace with yourself, if you're at peace with yourself, well, then you're an enemy of God. I remember I had a college class, and right before the final exam, the professor had us, she dimmed the light, she played some soft music, and she wanted everybody to just kind of empty themselves, whatever that means, and to just relax and allow the music to take us to our happy place so that we could take this final exam and we'll do better with it. And it was a forum class, all right? There was 250 plus kids inside this class, and I'm freshly born again.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to have any part of this. I just knew whatever she was asking us to do was against what the word of God was. And so I just continued to study. And I got eye contact with her. She looked at me and she with some hand motions, was just telling me to close the book, put underneath, and to relax and to do what she was saying. And as she was telling me this, I could see that she was getting worked up because I wasn't being a part of this. And then when she said, put the book down, I mouthed the word over to her, no, I'm not going to do this. And then I proceeded to study. She grabbed my book, she put it underneath my desk, and I just kind of sat there. Came time for the final exam. I took the final exam. I was like third or fourth in finishing the exam. I went down to her, and she said, the next time I tell you to participate in an exercise inside this classroom, you'll do it. Now, bear in mind, it's the final exam. There's nothing left. And you will be a part of this. And I looked at her, and I said, listen, ma'am, the next time you tell me to be a part of your new age exercise, I'll go down to the dean. I'll report you because what you did is against my religion. And she said, whoa, what religion are you? And I said, I'm a Christian. She says, well, I'm a Christian.
What?
And I said, I doubt that. Listen, Jesus Christ plus nothing equals peace and contentment in my life. Never ask me to be part of your new age exercise again.
Wow.
And the whole class is listening.
Oh, really?
Because the whole class is still there taking the test. And she goes, I am so sorry. I did not know that it went against what you're claiming your religion to be. And I said, listen, no harm, no foul. I go, but it is against my religion, and I'm going to go my way. And I got an A in the class. It was good. But listen, it's the subtleties of what kind of creeps in.
Yeah,
she claims to be a Christian, but she has implemented these new age practices, and in this case, a meditation. Now, there's nothing wrong with meditating if you meditate on those things which are from above. But when we meditate to try to become one with ourselves, to empty ourselves, to be at peace with ourselves, there's a danger that's associated with that. Because continually we are to put our mind on those things which are from above and to meditate upon scripture.
That's a really good point that you make. Ross Douthat makes that in his book, Bad Religion, which is a great book. He points out that most of Christians in the United States have, unbeknownst to them, adopted some form of pagan heretical practice or belief system within their own way in which they try to live out their faith. And so I think like meditation is a prime example. That word has been robbed from its Christian roots and used in the secular world in a way that I think is unhelpful. So you made the point, meditation towards Eastern religion and what most people would tell you is to clear your mind and to be at peace with the world around you. Listen, meditation is not sinful.
Right.
The scriptures call us to meditate on God's word constantly. The difference between Eastern meditation and Christian meditation is that when we meditate as Christians, we don't empty our minds and leave them there. We clear our minds and fill them with the knowledge that God has revealed to us primarily through his word.
Amen. Yeah, and you know, it has become so pervasive in our culture that, like we were talking about, people don't detect it. It's become a real kind of integrated part of our modern contemporary society, and people are practicing it and they don't know the name of it. They're not thinking, oh, this is something that is actually a demonically influenced philosophy that comes from the East. They're just kind of like, oh, they just see it.
Right.
They see their favorite Instagram gurus doing stuff and they just, oh, that sounds good. That must be fine. And there's no thinking connected to it. You know, Julia, actually, we were talking about it the other night, but she had a class in college.
Daughter?
My daughter, Julia. But she had a class where the teacher was having them do the same kind of things. He was having them chant. He was having them, clap for 30 minutes, like in the class. And Julia would just sit there every time and not do it. And he's like, he gave her a little lecture. You know, he's like, well, you know, you got to be obedient. She's like, I'm not doing it. And at the end, she got an A, and he said, and I'm so amazed you actually made friends in the class. Like, you know, he expected her to be like the misfit. And other kids kind of envied her because she had a foundation for which not to do it. They didn't. And so they're like, well, I don't. Why wouldn't I do it? You know, and they're like, but you don't have to do that. You know, so
30 minutes, I wouldn't get people to clap me for more than 10 minutes.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when we went to watch Mark on Family Feud.
Oh, that's right.
Mark
is just crazy.
I have never clapped so much.
Well, you got kicked out if you didn't clap.
Remember they had a guy that was whipping up the crowd and
making them clap.
How did you guys get on Family Feud? This
it's
is a good
easy.
Commercial.
I can teach you how to get on Family Feud. It's really easy.
Was it really easy?
Yeah. How many years ago was that though? Was that
15?
15 years ago.
Was it
maybe more?
Maybe more.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 years ago, maybe.
How did you get on?
You just have to act energetic and excited that the most important place to be is that right there. And the most important person to talk to is the one in front of you.
Do you guys remember
hosting it back then?
Richard Karn.
He used to kiss all the ladies.
No, Richard Dawson.
No, Richard Karn was with me. Oh. Richard Dawson was before
Okay,
him.
You guys remember Richard Dawson?
From
kiss all the ladies?
Yeah. Kiss everybody.
He was crazy. Yeah. In fact, the other day I pulled up some old videos of him when he was on there, and he would literally kiss every woman after the other.
Hello.
And he ended up marrying a contestant that he kissed.
No way. Yeah. Oh, wait. Richard Karn is
from Home Improvement.
Yeah. I just Googled him because I couldn't figure out that
name. Yeah, but Richard Dawson was the original. And you look at the sets, how much they've changed and how they modernized it. Now it's Steve Harvey, right? Is he still doing it?
Yeah.
But Mark, that was, I just couldn't move.
The whole time.
On, and they had this guy whipping up the crowd.
That was crazy.
Ray, you must have gone crazy because it was an all-day event.
Yeah, but I'm an enthusiastic person, and I love clapping and enjoying seeing you on that. But, Mark, I've never got an A in anything. You make me mad. And Julia gets A's. Anyway, back to New Age. Yeah. I think the common denominator in New Age is idolatry. It's just such a clue that someone's New Age, when they say, I'm a spiritual person, you know, and they talk about energy and stuff like that.
That's another buzzword in New Ageism.
Yes, but it's always devoid of any reference to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And nothing clears all that out, cleans the soup out, like the law.
Yeah. And without apology, it puts man at the forefront. It's all about you.
That's it.
Yeah, Ray, in fact, you know, how this philosophy seeps in, because, again, you know, if man is God, then man is the arbiter of what is right and wrong and makes the decisions. And in fact, I heard you recently interviewing a woman, and you asked her about Hitler, is what Hitler did wrong? And she just did not want to, she wouldn't answer the question. Right. And this is the madness of it, because everyone, whether they know it or not.
That was a woman?
Wasn't it?
What's a woman?
Boy, what crazy times we're living in.
It is insane.
But whether people mean to or not, everyone are thinking about it or not, everyone wants to be inherently consistent. Mm-hmm. And so they get to a point where they realize, okay, if I say this, that what Hitler did obviously was wrong, well, now I'm pretty much decimating my whole philosophy. So they have to dance around it, and they have to him and ha and Were those your knuckles cracking, Oscar?
I'm hoping that didn't catch on the microphone.
Man, that was worse than a stomach gurgling.
Mark is a muscle knuckle cracker, aren't you? You can't even do it now.
Nothing. Sorry.
Yeah. But Oscar, I'd love you to talk about this. You know, oftentimes you'll hear proponents of New Ageism, whether they know they're New Age or not, but again, they're espousing the philosophy to one degree or another, but they kind of mock us as Christians for believing in Christ, believing in the Bible. And that here they are believing they're getting power from crystals.
Right.
And all these crazy, insane things. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are incredibly irrational. You know, we pick and choose what we want to believe, and there's really no rationality to it. I would say this, though. I actually had a brief conversation with Trevor and Ashley, because as you guys know, Trevor's wife, Ashley, practiced New Age before she became a believer. Right. Trevor's our social media expert here on staff. Something that we talked about is like, how do you reach somebody? I asked her, how do you find common ground as a launching pad towards the gospel? And she pointed out that one of the things that is admirable is that somebody who is following New Age has a deep desire to understand themselves as not just a natural product of evolution, but they do want to know something about the spiritual. Mm. It's just that they're being guided in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And I think for someone like that, one other way to meet common ground for them is when they talk about Christianity being, you know, a part of the Western modern way, and that's the reason why they reject it and they'd rather buy into these crystals. First, it's okay to find areas of agreeability. I would say to somebody, you know what? There has been times where Christianity has been bamboozled by Western culture. There are ways in which you could be a Christian that is not really following what Jesus said. But the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of Jesus, is that he is a pre-Western figure. And the gospel paint him, as I mentioned before, the God-man who knew all things, who had a true understanding of what it means to be quote unquote spiritual, if you will, because he was God incarnate, and through him we can find the answers that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's good.
Not through crystals.
Not through crystals.
It's interesting to ask a New Ager who was Jesus.
yeah.
that reveals where they're at.
Yeah, and typically the answer is he was some enlightened guru, and you know right. he went off to Egypt and learned his New Age mysticism yeah. and came back. It's like, it's craziness, you know. Ray, would you say the Beatles?
The Beatles.
How the Beatles.
How did I do?
Say, asked me to, Ray, would you say the Beatles?
The Beatles.
Wow, brilliant.
Really well.
Say it again.
The Beatles.
Very good.
Thank you. I'm learning.
Could you say the Beatles forever?
Would you give forever? Me an A? Give me an A for saying the Beatles. I've never had an A.
Beatles. Hey.
Yes, they did.
Would you say they really helped popularize?
Oh, absolutely.
What was going on with them back
then? The Beatles' influence was absolutely worldwide in a way that's unprecedented. They influenced me and all my friends just by their music, the subtlety of what they were singing about. And when they got into Hinduism, I got into Hinduism.
Leather what, gear. You did?
Yes.
What?
Just superficially. I had my leather gear store was I used to sell surfboards, surfing gear, and make leather jackets for people. And it was like walking into there's a picture of Mayor Barber up in the wall up here and all
Who?
Sorts of the guy, the guru that they used to
be. Oh, the guru.
Yeah.
The mayor of Gaga.
Yeah, Mayor Barber, I think was his name. It was the guy that influenced the Beatles, and they just thought he was such a wonderful teacher. Went across to India, and he was only interested in the girls. That's serious. That's what it came down to.
Terrible.
There's all sorts of
Did
stuff
they
like that.
Talk about they, that? Yeah, were they got, disillusioned
they got
by him?
Very, very disillusioned. The only one that hung in with the Beatles was George Harrison, but it so spiritually influenced me. When I went to Sydney in about 1971, with Sue, we went to Sydney, Australia. I wanted to go to Indian stores, Hindu stores, and buy their stuff.
Wow.
And the second I became a Christian, it was just all out the door.
That
I just didn't want to.
Amazing.
The like Beatles were the ones that introduced
yeah,
you to that?
It was like an seducing spirit when I look back.
Yeah.
It was just.
Were the Beatles bigger than Elvis?
Combined, if they stood on each other's shoulders, they would have been. No, yes. He was their absolute idol when they went to see him.
But they were pretty even, wouldn't you say, Ray?
Yeah, pretty even. But actually, Elvis got thrown to the side when the Beatles came. They said, no more Elvis.
And really?
Yeah. But they went to see him, and he said, if you guys keep staring at me, I'm just going to bed. Because he was their idol.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Recently, I was watching a little video about Elvis's life, and this guy was talking about how he would do his hair. And
was he a tall guy?
But he said,
4 hours.
You know, Elvis would get really raw and real with him. And he'd say, man, what is life all about? What should I be doing? Huh. And he's like, well, Elvis, you may not like the answer, you know, but, you know, life is about, you know, you got to think about what the spiritual and stuff. And then this silly guy ends up taking him to some meditation, New Age place in LA. And he said he would go there all the time and he loved it. It just made me so angry. Yeah. You know, I'm like, obviously.
It's everywhere.
You know, Elvis was in the Bible Belt and he claimed that, you know, he would sing gospel songs. You know, obviously the guy was a godless man. But it's like, where was the believer to come into his life and to speak the truth?
Do you guys know what portals are? Have you heard of portals?
Heard of portals? I have heard of them, but I'm trying to think.
So enlighten us, guru.
Well, allow me to enlighten you. A portal is somewhere where either aliens or some other spiritual form made themselves present or landed on this earth and spent time here. And so if you go there, it's like this, I'm using air quotes for all of this. There's like this spiritual connection. And so like people will go on hikes and they'll go to portals. So one portal is actually
about Portland and Oregon, portholes.
So I'll give you an
portal,
example.
Oregon.
Potholes. There's a place called the Eye of the Gods.
This is a podcast. Don't point.
Sorry. There's a place called the Eye of the Gods in Big Bear, which is this hike that you can hike up to, and it's this big quartz rock that looks like it's in the shape of an eye. Well, way back in the day, Indians used to go up there and worship false gods on there, and now New Agers call that place a portal. So they'll go on a hike there as almost like a spiritual journey and have, you know, spiritual experiences.
They're awful
in portals.
To go there and just say it's a rock.
Yeah. Cool rock, dude.
With a big pothole you don't want to fall into.
With pot in it. But yeah, New Age is insane.
It's really hard for you to make a joke without laughing, isn't it?
Pothole with pot. And you see the philosophy, though, getting integrated into like movies now.
Yeah.
And that's what radically begins to influence the next generation. And I remember being in India, Mark, you and I went to India. And again, you see that Eastern mysticism that New Age is related to played out. And, you know, we went to this one temple that was dedicated to monkeys. And there's just monkeys running around like crazy. And people come and they feed them. You got temples dedicated to rats. Hmm. You've got people that are worshiping the most insane things.
Cows.
cows and...
And the gurus rubbing cow urine on their bodies is sort of a religious rite. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and I think people in the West really have no idea, you know, what's associated with all of this. And I think, you know, it all, again, goes back to those demonic roots with Satan and, you know, Babel and the things that began to develop out of that.
One thing that's a little strange for us as Christians is that when we are born again, we receive the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, and everything else just seems so stupid. Yeah. Because it's so clear to us. Jesus is Lord. God's the creator. Everlasting life is a free gift. We're here to glorify God. That's as simple as it gets.
Yeah.
It's also remind you how important it is to saturate your mind in God's word.
Yeah.
Because everywhere you go, there will be these false gospels, these lies, these temptations that will seem harmless, that will seem as though it's even maybe even bringing you closer to God. But in reality, they're false gospels, they're lies, and they're going to pull you away from an understanding of who your creator is. And the best way of protecting yourself from that, I would say two. One is reading his word, and two is getting involved with a faithful local church, because in community, you are protected.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of going out of vogue, isn't it? Being connected to the local church and understanding its value. Mark, you and I are part of such a rich church. In fact, our pastor recently was preaching, Pastor Philip DeCourcy.
Could you just qualify that?
Rich church?
Yeah. They all land in their helicopter pads here at church on Sunday.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we're part of a spiritually rich church, and our pastor, Philip DeCourcy, is just such a gifted expositor. And in fact, just on a recent Sunday, I was sitting back and thinking, man, we are so blessed to have the word clearly taught. There's no frills and bells and whistles and someone ziplining into the sanctuary and riding a motorcycle on stage. And you don't need all that junk. You need the word of God. And it convicts you. It exhorts you. It builds you up. It makes you ready for every good work.
Yeah. And with that, I commend my pastor to the listener. Right, go to kindredchurch.org and you can listen to his sermons. And I know you have Bruce Garner with crosspointhb.org is the church. And then
KX.church is our church. I preach there. And then my pastor, Chris Fabletti, is a dear friend of mine, and he's an incredible expositor of God's
word. And he's at Kingdom Hall.
Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. Yeah, friends, that is what you need more than anything. It's becoming, as we've talked about before, so familiar with the genuine that you'll immediately detect the counterfeit.
Yeah.
And being immersed in the Lord, you know, going back to your first love is really what it comes down to. Yesterday, I was listening to this song that I used to listen to all the time when I was a Newark believer. I don't know if you guys remember it. It was by a guy named Bob Bennett. It's called Man of the Tombs. And I got to send it to you guys. I sent it to you last night, right? Did you listen to it last night?
Yeah. I started listening to it.
Click, 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 click. Yeah. Did you? Oh, you started listening to it. Yeah, but you guys got to check it out. But it's just, I was in tears as I was reflecting back on it. It's about the man of the tombs that we've touched on in podcasts and how he was set free by Christ.
He's set in his right mind.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that up just before when I talked about knowing the truth and the truth will make you free. When I was into that Indian mysticism and wearing the clothes and that and having my hair look like guru, and I wore 5 puzzle rings. Do you know what a puzzle ring is?
Are those where they're like intertwined? They're hard to...
Yeah, they're intertwined and you can just do things with them. I had, and they gave me a sense of security. It was just weird. It gave me a sense of identity. It was
really?
I couldn't even put it into words. The second I became a Christian, I took them off. I said, I don't need these anymore.
Wow.
It really is. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah. Amen. And that's the thing. It's a transformative power of the gospel.
That's the thing.
And look.
Here's the thing.
But guys, as we start to draw to a close, really the silliness of it all, though, shouldn't this be enough for people to look and say, wait, this worldview or this system is telling me I am God, right? I am God. Like the pathetic
notion. Don't you have daily habits that you have to do each morning?
Yeah.
Three lowly practices that all of us are subject to. You're not God. Let me slap your face. That's what I feel like doing.
Yeah, it was the whole, Ray, I use that Larry thing so much with you people do? That we've talked about before. That guy who said he was God, and then Ray asked him his name. He goes, Larry. After he went on for like 5 minutes, I am the Lord. What's your name? Larry. It was the best. But
is that on camera? Do we have
no,
that?
No, we didn't have cameras in those days. We had that. Audio cassettes.
Yeah. I wish we had a camera for that. But look, here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:4-6. Said, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. Then he says, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. And so, yeah, that's all that it is. So-called gods, false gods, there is only one God. I mean, think of what God said in Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. I love that. Believe me. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Isaiah 44:6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And then a couple verses later in the same chapter, verse 8, he says, do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witness. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Mm. And so here's the bottom line. You may not necessarily be into New Ageism proper per se, but if you claim to be a Christian and you're not prioritizing Christ above all else, you are entering that realm of idolatry. And ultimately, you are saying, in a sense, you are God, because you're choosing your way above his. You're becoming prime over him. And friends, you need to really be careful of that. Ray, before we wrap up, there is a very well-known sister. She's got a YouTube channel, and you've been on it, and her name is Doreen Virtue.
Yeah, very nice lady.
And she was a New Ager before she came to Christ.
She's tops a New Ager, and she just got crucified by the world when she, you know, renounced it. Yeah. I watched another little video when I was doing research this morning, and I was just so delighted. This guy was deeply into New Age, and he just went onto his website and just saw a Facebook page and said, guys, I was wrong. I've been teaching you stuff that is just so horrible and deceptive, and I'm very sorry, and I'm now a Christian. And he was totally soundly saved, and it was great to see.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And Ashley Sheets, Trevor's wife, was heavy into the New Age.
That's right.
God soundly saved her, obviously.
Yeah, you can check out Ashley's testimony, actually. I think on Instagram, she has an Instagram page, and I think she may have a Facebook page as well.
Sheets is not the ordinary Sheets.
S-H-E-A-T-Z.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out her life story. She's radically transformed. She had a tattoo when she got saved of a, I don't know what it is, it's some kind of pagan Hindu god or something. And she's kept it on there. You would think she'd get rid of it, but her direction with that is she wants to be able, when people ask her, what is that, that she can go into her testimony and share where she came from, you know? So there is a lot out there. And friends, the most important thing is that you are equipped. You're equipped to reach the lost wherever you go. And it comes down to the gospel. Like Mark and Ray talked about in the beginning, it's a crazy mixed up alphabet soup, if you would.
A lot of the letters missing.
Yeah, a lot. And, you know, you want to be versed. It's good to learn and to study. And there's a lot at our disposal through which we can do that. But the bottom line is, it's the gospel. You know the simple gospel. You trust God through his Spirit to work in people's lives. And that's why I want to encourage you to get a hold of our tract sample pack. You can get those through livingwaters.com. And basically, those contain samples of all the tracts that we carry. And you can get that and then see what it is that you like. And then you can order more of those and get them into the hands of the lost. And also, don't forget the Evidence Bible. In fact, guys, I've seen a few people write in who listen to the program, and they've been getting the Evidence Bible. And one guy said he was going to get it and give it out to friends. And so that'll help you become familiar, like we talked about, with the authentic. All right, friends, that wraps it up. Make sure to email us at podcast@livingwaters.com. Give us your thoughts and ideas. Give us a rating on the program. And make sure, what are you doing, Ray?
I'm waiting for you to say Living Waters.
Wrap it up, Basie. Get it over with. And once again, friends,
that's it.
As always, thank you for joining us.
Here it comes.
For the Living Waters.
Oh, no.
Podcast.
All right. right, friends, it's that time again. I'm going to announce this week's podcast giveaway winners. We kick it off with Stone. Ooh, Stone. From Trussville, Alabama. And he says, yes, that's the name, Stone. Matt from Eureka, California. Jim from Ozark, Arkansas. JC from Louisville, Kentucky. Carl from Santa Maria, California. Rob from Snohomish, Washington. Washington's always got those interesting names. Jason from Tulsa, Oklahoma. John from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Piet or Pete from Rotorua, New Zealand. Pronounced Pete. Oh, I should have read that note first. And Steven from Logan Reserve, Australia. You're all winners. The goodies are coming, friends. Keep telling others about the Living Waters podcast.